नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द फोर्थ चैप्टर with the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which is titled as Shri Sararta Varshini commentary. So I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. This chapter is titled as Jnana Vibhaga Yoga or Transcendental Knowledge. So this chapter specifically talks about how when one performs one's scribe duties with detachment, gradually within the detached work, how knowledge is involved, how knowledge is hidden, knowledge of transcending this material world, or the element of jnana is there within that nishkama karma. You know, that is what this chapter is talking about. That is why this chapter is titled Transcendental Knowledge or Jnana Vibhaga Yoga, knowledge that can help one transcend this material world. If you remember, in the previous chapter, Krishna spoke of two subject matters. He spoke about how to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, how Nishkama Karma Yoga is practiced. He taught this, the science of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And then he taught how, in order to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, the greatest obstacle is lust. Because kama is the obstacle to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, there it is very relevant that the subject matter of lust was dealt with in the third chapter, which talks about Nishkama Karma Yoga. Kama Karma Yoga is Kama. Kama Yesha Krodesha Rajoguna Smudbhavan Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyena Mihavairinam. So he spoke of lust and how to tackle lust. And now, in this chapter, Krishna starts by telling, my dear Arjuna, this subject matter which I have given you is nothing new. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavya Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravi. Actually, I taught the same science to Vivasvan, the sun god. Vivasvan taught it to his son. Vivasvatamanu taught it to his son Ikshvaku. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sateneham hata yogo nashta parantapa. Saintly kings understood this subject matter. In this disciplic succession, they received this subject matter in this disciplic succession. But over a period of time, by the influence of powerful time, this subject matter was lost. Evayam maya tedya yoga prakta puratanah bhaktosime saka cheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam. My dear Arjuna, I am going to deliver that same message to you and restart that parampara because you are my devotee and my friend. Therefore, it is very appropriate that such an elevated subject matter be disseminated through you. Bhaktosime saka cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. So, as you are my devotee and friend, I have spoken about this yoga, which is the ultimate secret to you. At this point of time, Arjuna wants to establish the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and appearance. Because people should essentially consider this Bhagavad Gita as a very elevated subject matter which is worthy of internalizing and applying in one's life. So they will consider the subject matter as valuable only if they understand the superior position of Krishna. Only if they understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna himself would never speak about his superior nature. So therefore, Arjuna asks this question so that Krishna is forced to speak about himself. Arjuna asks, Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katametad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. My Krishna, we both are of the same age, but Vivaswan appeared much before, Vaivasvata Manu and Ikshvaku, all of them are much, much, much before us. In fact, Ikshvaku is even before Lord Ramachandra comes in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. So, Katam etad vaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. How am I to understand that you spoke the subject matter to Vivaswan? Krishna answers this question. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna. Tanyaham veda sarvani natvam parantapa. O Arjuna, many, many births you and I have taken. I remember all those births, but you do not remember any. So Krishna remembers all those births. So here he says, in this verse, Krishna indicates that how Krishna disseminates this knowledge through his various avatars. But Krishna, being the Amshi, he says, many births you and I have taken. So Krishna does not say this is one of, Krishna does not say that this is one of my births. Krishna says, many, many births you and I have taken means that I, in the form of Krishna, is the Amshi, and you, in the form of Arjuna, is the Amshi. And subsequently, when we appear in various forms. I appear as Narayana, and you appear as Nara, and so on. So therefore, he says that the form of Krishna is the Amshi. So Krishna is indicating that when I appear in various avatars, and then I, through various avatars, I disseminate this knowledge. I, because of being omniscient, I remember all the births. You don't remember because I cover your remembrance through my Yogamaya potency for fulfilling my pastimes. Otherwise, Arjuna, being a Nitya Siddha devotee, he does this mrityu sarvaharaschaham. With death, Krishna removes all the memory of this life. And in the next life, everyone feels that my life started with my birth in this body. No one remembers anything of one's previous life, except for very rare personalities who are called as Jati Smara. So Jati Smaras are those who remember incidents from their previous life. So that happens to very, very few people under very rare circumstances. But mostly, with death and destruction of the previous body, Krishna takes away the memory of the previous body. And this memory of past body is removed by default by the Mahamaya potency for conditioned souls. But for perfected souls like Arjuna, such Nitya Siddhas are capable of remembering all their past lives. But sometimes, to aid some pastimes, Yogamaya may cover those memories. But otherwise, by default, Nitya Siddhas are capable of remembering their past lives when they appeared along with the Lord. Okay, so that's what here Krishna says. Tanyaham Veda Sarvani Natvam Vetta Parantapa. Then, this very pivotal verse where Krishna talks about six different aspects of his birth. His Janma Rahasya is being described in this particular verse. The secret of his birth, the very transcendental secret nature of his birth is being described by Krishna. There are six aspects which differentiate Krishna's birth from the birth of ordinary living entities. First, he says, Ajopi San. So Krishna says, I am unborn. The living entity may also say, oh, I am also unborn. As a Jivatma, in my constitutional nature, I am unborn. Okay. Okay, this may seem like a similarity between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. Then Krishna says, Avyayatma, I have an indestructible body. What about you? The Jiva cannot claim to have an indestructible body. Oh, I don't have, I am not Avyayatma. Here Atma means body. Avyaya, Vyaya means to deteriorate. Avyaya means does not deteriorate. Ajopisan Avyayatma. And I have an imperishable body. What about you? No, we do have a perishable body. But the liberated souls and the Nitya Siddhas, they may claim, oh, we are also Avyaya. We also have an imperishable body. Correct. Then he says, Bhutanam Ishwarah. I am the Lord of all living entities. This, even the liberated souls cannot claim that. That only Krishna can claim. The Lord can claim. Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Swam Prakritim Adishtaya. This is the fourth aspect. Swam Prakritim Astaya means I appear with my own spiritual body. Taking shelter of my own Maya. Of my internal energy, Swam Prakriti, whereas material nature is Binna Prakriti. So Krishna says, Swam Prakriti Mastaya, taking shelter of my own Antaranga Shakti. But when Jivatmas manifest, Bahiranga Shakti Mastaya, they take shelter of the Bahiranga Shakti. Our Swam Prakriti also means spiritual body. Okay. But when material, when living entities appear, they appear through material, they appear in material body. Sambhavami. Krishna indicates Sambhavami means I choose to appear, indicating his independence. But any living entity who takes birth in this material world, he does have any independence to appear. He is forced by the law of karma to appear. And Atma Mayaya. I appear by my own energy, means by my own internal energy. Whereas when the living entity appears, he appears influenced by Krishna's external energy. So in this way, Krishna talks about his Janma Rahasya. So therefore, Krishna here indicates when the living entity says he unborn. Living entity may also say that I am also unborn and born. So in my constitutional state, I am unborn. As a Jiva, I am unborn. But when I identify with my body, then I am born. So in my conditioned state, I am born. In my constitutional state, I am unborn. But Krishna says, no. In my constitutional state, I am unborn. Birth and no birth, both are my so when I take birth, that birth is not due to my false ego. Taking birth is on the platform of true ego for me, and not taking birth is also on the platform of true ego for me. But for the Jiva, taking birth is on the platform of false ego, and not taking birth is on the platform of true ego. So that's what Krishna very clearly and distinctly describes his Janma Rahasya. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam, sorry, Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Swam Prakritim Adishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. This is about the Janma Rahasya of Krishna. Then the next two verses he describes his Karma Rahasya, the secret nature of his activities, the confidential nature of his activities. Why does he appear and when does he appear? He says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttana madharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So he says, yada yada, whenever dharmasya glanir bhavati, whenever there is a destruction of dharma, adharmasya abhyuttanam, or when there is a rise adharma, tada, at that time, aham atmanam srijami, I manifest my own body. So we discussed srijami. If you take srijami to mean I create, srishti, if srijami is literally to be srishti, then Krishna cannot say prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Then Krishna cannot say own body, spiritual body. So if you say swam prakriti, then it is Krishna's eternal spiritual nature. Spirit is not created. So Krishna has already mentioned that his body is spiritual. So then srijami cannot be taken to mean create, because one matter is created. Spirit is not created. So if you take srijami to mean create, then how will you explain swam prakriti madhishtaya sambhavami? So that would be contradiction. So therefore here very clearly the acharyas explain srijami here means manifest and not create. So it means to manifest, as the sun manifests and unmanifests. The sun manifests early in the morning and the sun unmanifests itself in the towards the night, right? So that is the meaning of srijami, and not literally create. You know, Krishna's body is not created. Then, so he speaks about when he appears, and then he talks about why he appears. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So he says, paritranaya sadunam, to protect my devotees, vinashaya cha dushkritam, to destroy the demons, dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish dharma, sambhavami yuge yuge, I appear in every age. But someone may ask Krishna, Krishna, do you really have to appear personally? These things, can't the Rajarshis, your pure devotees, the exalted kings and all of them, can't they establish, can't they protect the devotees? Can't they destroy the demons? Can't they establish dharma? Why do you have to personally come? Krishna says, oh, what you say is right. Let me clarify. He says, when I say paritranaya sadhunam, when I come to protect the devotees, what do the devotees need protection from? The devotees are suffering due to feelings of separation from me. The devotees are suffering due to feelings of separation from me. So in order to remove that feeling of separation, I cannot send just my devotees. I cannot send just the Rajarshis. I have to come personally. Of course, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. Definitely, the devotees, when they come together, they can discuss my pastimes together. And in such discussions, they may feel my presence, no doubt about it. But still, the experience that they feel in personally seeing me through their eyes, hearing my voice through their ears, tasting my remnants through their tongue, smelling my bodily fragrance through their nose, and experiencing my touch through their skin, and meditating upon my beautiful form, qualities, etc., through their mind, and planning please me through their intellect. All of that can be perfectly and completely accomplished only when they personally see me, only when I personally descend. So therefore, in order to deliver them from this distress, I appear personally. And the second reason, he says, Vinashaya cha dushkritam. Of course, the ordinary demons can be destroyed by my devotees, by the great kings. But extraordinary demons like Kamsa, Shishupal, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they cannot be killed by any mere mortal. I have to personally come to destroy them. So this purpose also cannot be deputed to anyone else. I have to come. And dharma samsthapana arthaya. And in order to establish the dharma of Shrinvanti Gayanti, what is that verse? What is that? Shrinman? Kunti Maharani's verse, what is that? Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Bhishna Saha Maranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana Tayeva Pashyanti Acherena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padam Padambu. She says, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Bhishna Saha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana Tayeva Pashyanti Acherena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam. Like that, she says that dharma that Krishna comes to establish, the ordinary dharma, varnashrama dharma, Krishna does not personally have to come to establish. Krishna has to come to establish his dharma of bhakti. That cannot be instituted by anyone else but Krishna. And also the form of yuga dharma. Yuga dharma yutam punar nanda sutam. So for that, the Supreme Lord has to come. Therefore, I come yuge yuge. Like that. I come in every yuga or I come in every kalpa. So some of the avataras are yuga avataras. They appear every yuga. Some are kalpa avataras. They appear once during the day of Brahma. Like that. At least once during the day of Brahma. And when I appear in this way, when I kill the demons and give my association to the devotees, one should not think that I am actually prejudiced against the demons. Actually, by killing the demons, I deliver them from hellish punishment. And especially when Krishna kills the demons, Krishna gives them liberation. But when any other form of the Lord, when they kill the demons, of course, liberation is not, they don't give liberation, but at least a better destination is awarded to them. So that is the superiority of Krishna. You know, of the 64 qualities which are there in Krishna, five qualities which are in Krishna also and in other Vishnu Tattvas also is this quality of Hatari Gatidayakatvam. Hatari Gatidayakatvam means Hata Ari. When they kill, even if they kill a demon or an enemy, they bestow a favorable destination to them. So the favorable destination, that is when Matsya Kurma Varaha Narasimha, when these forms of the Lord, when they kill the demons, the demons get a destination which is better than what they deserve as a demon. But when Krishna kills them, they get liberation. So none of the other Aras are capable of bestowing liberation to demons. They all have the quality of Sharanya Mukundatvam. Sharanya Mukundatvam means the ability to bestow liberation to surrendered souls. They can give liberation to all surrendered souls. Mukti Pradatam Sarvesham Vishnu Devana Samshayah. No doubt. To surrendered souls, they all can give mukti. But even to demoniac souls, the ability to give mukti is there only in the form of Krishna. And this is one of the main things that distinguishes the Amshi from the Amsha. So the other forms can give liberation to demons. They can give a favorable destination. That is why if you see when Narasimha kills Hiranyakashipu, he again returns as Ravana. And when Lord Rama kills Ravana, he again returns as Shishupal. But when Shishupal is killed by Krishna, Shishupal attains liberation. Right. There are many such cases. There is not a single demon who was killed by any other form of the Lord other than Krishna who attained actually liberation. But they all got a favorable destination. So, like that. So, the Lord's punishment in the form of killing should thus be seen as his mercy. So then, Krishna, in the ninth verse, is, what is the benefit of a person who understands and realizes this transcendental nature of my birth and activities? So Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatva tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. O Arjuna, yaha evam tatvatah veti, one who in this way understands in truth, may divyam janma cha karma, the spiritual or transcendental nature of my birth and activities, saha mamyati, he attains me. Deham tatva, upon giving up his upon of this body, he attains me. Punar janma neti, and he does not take birth again. So this is the meaning. And we saw the meaning of divya. Divya means non-material or spiritual. Divya means uncommon. Uncommon means uncommon to this material realm. So which means spiritual. And divya also means beyond the gunas, which also means spiritual and eternal. So therefore, and divya also not approachable by logic, which also any spiritual matter is inconceivable through material mundane. So therefore, one who understands the nature of the birth and activities of Krishna to be transcendental, eternal, spiritual, uncommon, and beyond material logic, that person, upon giving up this body, attains me, like that. So Shyamalal Prabhu asked this question last time, that from the beginning of bhakti only we learn this subject matter, that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental and spiritual. So we accept this right from the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. So you mean to say, whoever has come to the path of bhakti, there is no next birth for them. Because, you know, we all accept, is there anyone who, even a beginner devotee who does accept that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental? Everyone accepts. So, which means anyone who takes up to bhakti will not have another birth, that will be his last birth. Is that what you mean? So, Krishna clarifies. Very appropriate question at the appropriate time, Prabhuji asked last time. So, Krishna says, oh, I will tell you what it means to know, to understand, realize the birth and activities of transcendental. He says, Vita raga bhayakro manmayama upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magataha. So he says, Vita raga, Vita bhaya, Vita krodha. In such a person, you will see freedom from attachment, freedom from fear, and freedom from anger towards the demons. Essentially, freedom from the lower gunas. Okay, there is no attachment to their ideologies. It's not like now you hear Vaishnava ideology and you say, ah, wah, wah, bahut sahi bola aapne. And someone from some other organization, he says something and bolenge, oh, wah, wah, kya sahi bola aapne. So, no, no, not that, you know. So, you cannot have attachment to, so he is free from attachment to a non pure devotional philosophy. Okay. So, Vita Bhaya, he is free from fear. So, he is so firmly rooted in his understanding of the Vaishnava Siddhanta that when any non-pure Vaishnava Siddhanta is presented by other personalities, he does not become fearful because he is so firmly rooted and clear in his understanding. And Vita Krodha, and when he sees others speaking in this way, he does not become overcome by anger. So this is the first symptom, first three symptoms. Vita Bhaya, Vita Krodha. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, and Manmaya. Manmaya means such a person would be absorbed in hearing and chanting. That is the true meaning of understanding the transcendental nature of my birth and activity. Right? So it's like, oh, eh, kya hai? Aag hai. Isko chune se kya hota hai, pata hai? Someone says, जलता है. तो अभी आप क्या करने वाले हैं? उसको छूने वाला हूं. So then what is the what does that mean, you know? So if you know that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental, then the true meaning of internalizing it means that you cannot be absorbed in anything of this material world. You will be absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is the meaning of Manmaya. And what is the quality? Mam Upashritaha. Such a person would have completely taken shelter of Krishna. He will not take shelter of anything of this material world, including Karma, Jnana, Yoga. If anyone is seen taking shelter of karma, jnana, yoga, or anything of this material world, such a person cannot be mentioned to be mam upashrita. And if he is not mam upashrita, then he is not janma karma chame divya tattvataha. Then such a person has not tattvataha taken shelter of Krishna. Tattvataha, he has not understood the birth and activities of Krishna to be transcendental. And he says that Bahavo, there are many, many, many such persons. ज्ञान तपसा पूता, ज्ञान तपसा पूता मीन्स, पूता मीन्स प्यूरिफाइड, प्यूरिफाइड ऑफ वॉट, ज्ञान तपसा, ज्ञान तपसा मीन्स द ऑस्टेरिटी ऑफ नॉलेज. वॉट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ ऑस्टेरिटी ऑफ नॉलेज? ऑस्टेरिटी ऑफ नॉलेज मीन्स इफ कृष्णा इज टेलिंग समथिंग विच इज बीइंग ट्रांसमिटेड इन द गुरु शिष्य परंपरा, प्रॉपर वैष्णव गुरु शिष्य परंपरा. सो वेन प्रभुपाद टेल्स समथिंग, विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर, प्रभुपाद विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर, श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत ठाकुर, वेन दे आर टेलिंग समथिंग, देर आर मेनी अदर हू ऑल्सो कोट फ्रॉम भगवद्गीता, भागवतम एक्सेट्रा, एंड दे विल कोट समथिंग एल्स ओनली. फॉर एवरी प्रॉपर अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द वर्स, 10 पीपल विल गिव 10 improper bogus understanding. Okay, so you have to tolerate all that bogus understanding and remain chaste to the explanation of our acharyas, and that is austerity actually. And bahavo, there are many such people, jnana tapasa puta, who have been purified by taking up this austerity of knowledge, and mad bhava magata, and they have attained love for me. So most important, this is the sixth quality, jnana tapasa puta. They are purified by the austerity of tolerating the opposition of true knowledge of my birth and activities. And most importantly, the seventh quality is madbhavam agataha. No one can tell that I know, I understand the transcendental, I know and I understand the birth and activities of Krishna are transcendental, and still he has not started loving Krishna. So which means there is no internalization of this conclusion. So very nice purport. We ended with this purport last time. I will quickly again read this purport. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, not only at the present time can one attain me just by knowing about the nature of my present birth and activities, but in ancient times also, in previous kalpas when I appeared, people attained me by knowing the nature of my birth and activities. Bahavo, there are many, many examples. There are many, many examples of this. Because you should not think, are itna easy, just by understanding and accepting your birth and activities to be transcendental, can one attain perfection? Is it so easy? He says, yeah, of course, you know, whether it is easy or not, but many people have attained it. So that is the purport of this verse. Regarding the meaning of jnana tapasa, Ramanujacharya says, they became purified by the austerity of realization about the nature of my birth and activities as previously stated. Because it is austere, another, because it is beyond our pratyaksha. It is beyond our pratyaksha praman. Therefore, because pratyaksha praman is the most powerful pramana, the most convincing pramana is pratyaksha pramana, and shabda pramana is the weakest pramana. So when there is no proof from pratyaksha pramana, but to accept everything purely based on shabda is austerity actually. Is austerity. So that is why jnana tapasa, that is why it is austerity. And consistently, before that knowledge becomes realization, our pratyaksha and anuman, pratyaksha anuman and anuman will say, अरे ये illogical है, ये तो मैंने देखा ही नहीं, ये तो मैंने सुना भी नहीं, ऐसे तो होता ही नहीं, आपने इसे किसी ने सुना है क्या, ऐसे कुछ होता है क्या, वैसे भी होता है क्या, वैसे भी कर्म होता है क्या, So a pratyaksha, this pratyaksha and anuman will consistently be opposed to shabda. So tolerating that lack of pratyaksha and anuman evidence and just sticking to the shabda till it becomes realization, that is jnana tapasa. That includes lot of austerity. That is the explanation of Srila Ramanujacharya. Or the meaning can be, they having attained realization of my birth and activities, became purified by the austerity in the form of tolerating the burning poison of wrong ideas, wrong logic, and wrong arguments. Different things. You have some people, like the Mayavadi is telling something which they will quote from the same Bhagavad Gita and they will say something. People like Gandhiji, they may say that, oh, the Pandavas are the five senses and all that, So some other things. You will have other people like, followers of Osho or whatever, some folks say Samadhi, like that, those kind of things. And you will have other people like Hindutvas, they will give some explanations and things like that. So, if someone so someone becomes purified by the austerity form of tolerating the burning poison of wrong ideas, wrong logic, and wrong arguments, which may not come in proper parampara. So Ramanujacharya quotes the following Shruti in this regard. Tasya dhiraha parijananti yonim. The wise men know about the Lord's method of birth. So such wise persons have given up attachment to or affection for persons who speak nonsense ideas. So such wise persons have given up attachment to or affection for persons who speak nonsense ideas. That is the meaning of Vitaraga, which means, अरे प्रभुपाद ने तो सही बोला, बट ये जो साधु है ना, क्या बोलते हैं वो, तो बहुत अच्छा लगता है उनसे. यू मे थिंक लाइक दैट. सो दैट इज वीतराग, दैट इज राग अटैचमेंट, इवन दो टू हियर आइडियोलॉजीज विच मे नॉट बी प्योर डिवोशनल. सो he says, then my devotees have no fear of them nor anger towards them. Why? Why do they not fear them, or why do they not have anger towards them? Because they are preoccupied meditating on and thinking of hearing and thinking about my birth and activities. Man maya. They don't have time for these emotions of fear and anger towards non-devotees, because they are completely absorbed in Harikirtan and Harikatha. And such people attain prema for me. Puta madbhava magata. Like that. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add before we move ahead to the next verse? Anything anyone would like to share as add? There is one question in the chat box or a comment. Let me see. We hear birth and pastimes of the Lord are very sweet, but now I understood I am on surface level. To internalize is not easy. Yeah, they are very sweet. If they are so sweet, then oh, why we are still so interested in the news of this world, the things of this world, the sensations of this world, the very fact that we still have raga towards them, the very fact, sometimes it manifests in the form of dvesha also. Today, someone was sharing with me even though this is common, in one of the ways in which deep raga many times manifests in the form of bhaya and krodha. Our own attachments and our insecurity that we may succumb to our attachments manifests in the form of bhaya and krodha. Like say, for example, a son may see the son has become a devotee. The son is very much attached to, let's say, non-devotional people, non-devotional relatives, non-devotional things, television, like that. When he sees his parents speaking to his relatives, it may manifest in the form of bhaya and krodha. Right? Hey, why are you talking to them? They are not devotees. If you talk to them, you will drown. You know, they will speak many non-devotional things and they will try to, you know, influence you. But what is speaking is his own fear that I am not very firmly situated in Krishna consciousness. My situation is not very good. So that insecurity in one's own heart, the fear that manifests in the form of, hey, you don't talk to those relatives because they are not practicing Krishna consciousness. They watch TV, they go to movies, and if you talk with them, what will happen to you? I mean, sometimes it may come out of genuine concern. But many times it may be due to our own attachments. So the raga many times manifests in the form of bhaya and krodha. Oh, what if I get influenced by them? Like that. So, yeah, to internalize these things is not easy, actually. Yeah, correct. So, Sachipram Prabhu is asking, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, I wanted to understand this. Where is it given? I think Prabhupada writes it in his purport, right? Or because as of now, whatever we have read, in that it is not given. I think Prabhupada writes this in his purport, isn't it? Where is the fearfulness of one's own spiritual personality given? Rajivran Rao. Okay. Yeah, I think Srila Prabhupada says that. Oh, I think Sachipran Prabhu got dropped out. Okay, let him join, then we will discuss this point. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask at based on whatever we have summarized till now? The first 10 verses. Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay, Sachipran Prabhu is here. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Haribol Prabhu, sorry, I'm getting slightly disconnected. I'm in train actually. So, Prabhuji, okay. That point Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that at the end, I want to understand that what he wants to say, like fear from, you know, individual spirit. Because you know, attachments, material attachments, yeah. Spiritual personality means exactly I'm not able to, you know, understand this point.
Yeah. He is talking about those who are so frustrated with this material world that they think to exist without suffering is not possible. So they want to give up their individual existence. They think individual existence means suffering. So they want to be and sacrifice their suffering. Shunyavad, Nirvisheshavad. So they want to sacrifice their suffering because their experience in this material world has been so poor, third class. Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukkha yonai evate. ఆద్యంతవంతగా ఉంటే యునో వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ గుడ్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ గుడ్ సూపర్ఫిషియలీ బికాస్ దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ ఫాల్ట్స్ ఇన్ సైడ్. బట్ దోస్ విచ్ ఆర్ ట్రూలీ గుడ్ విచ్ హ్యావ్ నో ఫాల్ట్స్ ఇన్ సైడ్ హ్యావ్ అ బిగినింగ్ అండ్ ఎండ్. ఐ కెనాట్ ఎటర్నలీ ఎంజాయ్ ఇట్. ఎయిదర్ ఐ లూస్ ఎయిదర్ ఐ లూస్ పొసెషన్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆర్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ లూసెస్ పొసెషన్ ఆఫ్ మీ. ఎయిదర్ ఐ వ్యానిష్ ఆర్ ది డెత్ ఆర్ ది ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ వ్యానిషెస్ డ్యూ టు డీకే. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ దే థింక్ దట్ యునో ఇట్స్ నాట్ వర్త్. వాట్ ఈస్ ద వర్త్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద టు లివ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ నాట్ వర్త్ బికాస్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ సమ్ సఫరింగ్. So let us sacrifice our individuality. So they become fearful of their individual existence. So they want to merge in the Brahma Jyoti and sacrifice their individual existence. But that is their imagination. They cannot sacrifice their individual existence. Their individual existence is eternal. That is the nature of the soul. So the living entity can never sacrifice its individual existence. The living entity will always remain individual, but that can be partially accomplished by making him inactive. So can be active in two ways, right? Either in the conditioned state he remains active due to the material vasanas. నహి కశ్చిత్ క్షణమపి జాతు తిష్ట త్యకర్మకృత్ కార్యతే హి అవశ్య కర్మ సర్వ ప్రకృతి జైర్ గుణై. వెన్ ద ప్రకృతి జైర్ గుణ గుణాస్ బాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రకృతి వాసనాస్ పుష్యం హి రిమైన్స్ యాక్టివ్ డ్యూ టు దట్ రెస్పాండింగ్ టు ద పుషస్ అండ్ పుష్ అండ్ పుల్ ఆఫ్ ది గుణాస్. ఆర్ ఇన్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్ వెన్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ వాసనాస్ ఆర్ యాక్టివ్ they push him to act spontaneously for the pleasure. So in the conditioned state there is spontaneous sense gratification. In the perfected stage there is spontaneous bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. And in Brahma Jyoti, what is there? Brahma Jyoti is a state where material vasanas are completely wiped out. But the spiritual nature of the soul has not been activated. Anartha Nivritti fully accomplished, but Artha Pravritti not accomplished. So the spiritual nature, the spiritual body and the spiritual senses have not yet been activated. So in that case, what is the nature of the living entity? He remains inactive. He remains inactive in Brahma Jyoti. So for people who have understood the material enjoyment and living in this material world, but have not understood the bliss of spiritual rasa, the bliss of experiencing spiritual relationship, so such people, they become fearful of their individual existence. So they become fearful of their individual existence. So they want to sacrifice their individual existence. They don't want to be servants in this material world, and they have not understood the pleasure of being a servant of Krishna. So they have understood that there is no way I have the servant only. Better I don't want to exist. So they become fearful of their individual existence. So this is talking about those who wish to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and those who wish to wipe out their existence. Of course, they cannot wipe out their individual existence. They can give up their individuality but they cannot cease to be individuals. They will always remain individuals. But I think that is good enough. As long as they can cease their individuality and think that I don't exist. You know, that is their illusion. Like that. Anything else anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay. If there are none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. 11th verse. ये यतामां प्रपद्यन्ते तांस्तथैव भजाम्यहं मम वर्तमानो वर्तन्ते मनुष्या पार्थ सर्वशः तांस्तथैव भजामि अहं भजामि भज मीन्स टू वर्शिप भज आल्सो मीन्स टू शेयर As in vibhajan. Vibhajan means to divide so that it can be shared. Bhag. So bhaja also means to respond. Because when Krishna says bhajami aham, you cannot say I worship that person. So here it's not really that Krishna worships the other person. So here it means respond, to respond. So he says, Tams tataiva bhajamyaham. I respond to persons ye yata mam prapadyante. I respond to persons according to the amount that they surrender to me. To the extent that they surrender to me, accordingly I respond. Okay. Sarvashaha manushyaha, manushyaha, all men, mama vartma anuvartante, they all follow my path, o sanaprita, o partha. So, he says that I respond to persons according to the amount that they surrender to me, all men follow path, o sanaprita. So why is Krishna suddenly telling this? He has spoken about, I gave the same knowledge to Vivaswan and all of them. Vivaswan gave it to Manu, Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. In this way, the parampara continued, but over a period of time, by the influence of time, the parampara was lost. So I am giving you, I gave you the same knowledge because you are my friend and devotee. That is why I gave it to you. Then Arjuna asks, oh, but... how could you give it to Vivaswan? Then he talks about his Janma Rahasya and his Karma Rahasya. And then he says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, they will not take birth again. But then he says that, you know, but what is the meaning of to know the nature of transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities in truth? You know, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vyakti tatvatah. What is the meaning of knowing the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities in truth? What does it mean? He says, vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. It means a person surrenders to Krishna, he worships him, he is free from attachment to material things of this world, he is not fearful of and angry with persons who speak the supposing ideologies because he is completely absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna and he has taken full shelter of Krishna. Then he says, then suddenly he says, Ye yatamam prapadya tam stataiva bhajami. Because not everyone may fully surrender to Krishna. Everyone may take up to devotional service also. Some may accept karma yoga, some may accept jnana yoga, some may accept ashtanga yoga, some may accept mixed devotional service, some may accept pure devotional service, some may accepting pure devotional service, their surrender may not be strong, They may have weak surrender. Someone may have medium surrender. Someone may have strong surrender. How does Krishna respond and reciprocate with these people? So Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham. My reciprocation is in accordance to their amount of surrender. But everyone has to follow my path, either directly or indirectly. This is what Krishna says. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes here, he says, this is the question of Arjuna. So Arjuna, when he hears Krishna says, when he hears Krishna saying that, you know, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti, so Arjuna. So at that point, Arjuna says, okay, your dedicated devotees consider your birth and activities to be eternal. But others such as jnanis surrendering to you for the purpose of perfecting jnana or other goals do not consider your birth and activities to be eternal. Not everyone may consider your birth and activities to be eternal, oh Krishna. So how do you reciprocate with them? So Krishna says, in whatever way they worship me, I also give them the fruits of their worship in an appropriate manner. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajam. Now, what do you mean I respond to them in an appropriate manner? He says the meaning is this. Those who think that my birth and activities are eternal and having a particular desire for those pastimes, worship and please me. So pure devotees who think that my birth and activities are eternal, spiritual, transcendental, and they may have a particular desire for those pastimes. Some may have a desire for the Balya Leela pastimes. They may themselves be in Vatsalya Rasa. Okay. Someone may have a desire for the Pauganda Leela pastimes. They may have an attraction for Sakya Rasa. Someone may have attraction for the Kaishor Leela pastimes. They may be in Madhurya Rasa. So these are the personalities who think that Krishna's birth and activities are eternal and they have a particular desire for those pastimes. What would they do? They would worship Krishna and please him through devotional service. Okay. And I, Krishna says, because I am the Lord, I can respond or not respond or respond in a different way than they expect. Kartum, akartum, anyata kartum. Krishna can do. Krishna can choose to respond. Krishna can choose not to respond. Krishna can choose to respond in a different way than they expect. So because Krishna says, why is Krishna speaking this? Because Krishna says, look, constitutionally, I am the Lord. I am independent. I am not obliged. I am not controlled by a rule. I make the rules. I am not controlled by rules. But I choose to be controlled by love. That's why he says, kartum, akartum, anyata kartum. Because I am the Lord, I can respond. I can choose not to choose to respond in a different way than they expect. Being controlled by their love, choosing to be controlled by their love, making them my associates, I appear and disappear with them in this world at the appropriate time in order to give my birth and pastimes their eternal nature. Okay. So how do I respond with those devotees who accept my birth and activities to be eternal and who desire to participate in my pastimes by pastimes? Krishna says, well, I can respond or not respond or respond in any other way, but I choose to respond by making them my associates. So I appear and disappear with them in this world at appropriate times in order to give my birth and activities and eternal nature, favoring them at every moment, bestow upon them the fruit of their worship. So what is the fruit of their worship? Prema. So this is how he reciprocates with the, and this is how Krishna reciprocates with the devotees who accept Krishna's birth and activities to be eternal. Okay. The jnanis and others who surrender unto me while thinking of my birth and activities as temporary and thinking of my deity forms as material. Those jnanis again and again into the noose of Maya with its temporary births and action, and bestow upon them the sorrows of birth and death. But for those jnanis who do not accept my birth and activities to be eternal, if they think that my birth and activities are temporary, then, and if they consider my deity forms to be material, I throw those jnanis again and again into the noose of Maya with the temporary births and action, and bestow upon them the sorrows of birth and death. Okay. Because you don't accept me to be eternal, right? You don't accept me to be real. You don't accept my form to be real. Then why are you expecting any reciprocation with me, from me? If I am material, then if I am not the Lord, then I am incapable of reciprocating also, right? So how can I myself possessing a material body, how can I bestow you a spirit body? That is what Krishna is asking here. Look, according to you, I myself have material body, right? Then how can I bestow to you spiritual body or an eternal liberation? Not possible, right? So this is the appropriate fruit of their worship. They receive temporary body because they think of my body is temporary. How can a person who himself has a temporary body bestow upon you a body which is eternal? So ye yatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajami. But not all jnanis consider Krishna's form and activities to be material and temporary. He says, but those jnanis who accept the eternal nature of my birth and activities, consider my deity form to be Sachidananda, and surrender to me for perfection of their jnana, I liberate those jnanis since they desire the destruction of their gross and subtle bodies, and I give them the bliss of Brahman. So, even the jnanis who who attain the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, they have to accept Krishna's form to be eternal, his deity form to be spiritual, Sachidananda Vigraha, and should worship those forms. Only then they will attain liberation in impersonal Brahman. Those jnanis who do not accept the personal form of the Lord to be eternal and consider that to be material and temporary, they cannot attain liberation which is eternal, which is eternal. It is not possible. Okay. So I bestow upon them the desired result of their worship, the destruction of birth and death born out of ignorance. So even the jnana yogis have to perform bhakti. Even they may not form shuddha bhakti, but they certainly have to accept the form of the Lord to be eternal, his birth and activities to be transcendental. They can't consider it to be material. It is such people will never attain liberation. Yenye Arvindaksha Vimukta Maninaha. They are only Vimukta Manis. They don't actually attain Mukti. So they are just vimukta mani. They are not vimuktas. So, but what is their real position? They will not attain mukti, but they will remain in this material world eternally, taking repeated birth and death. So, but those jnanis who accept my birth and activities to be eternal, my deity form to be Sachidananda Vigraha, and who surrender to me to attain liberation, I give them liberation. Okay. Therefore, not only devotees surrender to me, but rather everyone, all men, jnanis, karmis, yogis, and worshippers of the devatas follow my path. They surrender either directly or indirectly. As Krishna says, ye pyanya devata bhakta bhaktya yajante. What is that verse? Tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidhi purvakam. What is that verse? Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shraddayanvita tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidhi purvakam. Krishna says. It is avidhi purvakam worship. Improper worship. They are worshipping me only, but improperly. So he says, jnana, karma and other processes are all my path, since I am the essence of all those paths. Okay. I am the essence of all those paths. So all of them follow my path. Okay. Like that. So here he mentions. Okay. When Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattva tekva deham punarjanma neiti mameti sorjana. Your devotees accept your birth and activities to be spiritual and eternal. After giving up their body, they attain you. But what about the jnanis, karmis, etc., who may not accept your body, your birth and activities to be spiritual, who may consider your deity form to be material and temporary? What do they attain? So Krishna says, yayatamam prapadyante tamstadeva bhajamyaham. If they consider my body to be material, then if they pray to me for getting a spiritual body, how can I get? How can I give? I myself possess a material body only according to them. So how can that personality who himself possesses a material body have the power to give a spiritual, eternal, transcendental body to someone? So I don't give them. That is what Krishna says. But if those jnanis or yogis accept my form to be birth and activities to be transcendental and my deity form to be eternal, when they worship me for attaining liberation, I give them liberation. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything you like to share as I have? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Okay. Next verse, Krishna says, Kangshataha karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha shipram himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Okay, there is a question in the chat box. Jnanis will not ask spiritual body, right? Because they don't have the information. Yeah, but they want eternal existence. They want an eternal spiritual existence. They may not have spiritual bodies, but they do want an eternal spiritual existence. That they want, that they will not get. That is the point. So then Krishna says, Kangshataha karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha shupram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Manushe loke, amongst men of this world, karmanam siddhim kangshataha, those desiring results from their work, yajanta iha devataha, they worship the devatas. Karmaja siddhihi, the results coming from such actions, shipram bhavati, they appear very quickly. So why is Krishna telling this? So he said, devotees who consider your birth and activities to be eternal, they desire to become your associates, you make them your associates. Jnanis who do not accept your form to be eternal, so who do not accept your birth and activities to be transcendental but still worship you, you make them remain in this material world only. But those jnanis who accept your birth and activities to be transcendental and the deity form to be Sachidananda Vigraha with a desire for liberation, you give them liberation. What about the demigod worshippers? They have nothing to do with you. They worship the demigods only. What do you do to them? So those men, they don't worship you, they worship the demigods and they desire results from their work only. Whatever they do for that, they want the result and they worship the devatas for that. And for such people, the results from such actions come very quickly. So what is Krishna telling here? So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, however, among men, those who are full of desire give up the path of bhakti, even though it is coming directly from me, and follow the path of karma, which give quick results. So they follow the path of karma, which gives quick results. So it gives quick results, but quick material results only. And Krishna says that kankshatah karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata shipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So when Krishna says okay, just give me a second. Yeah. So when Krishna says that among men, those desiring results from their work, they worship the devatas. The results coming from such actions appear quickly. So many times people think that here he says that if you want a material benefit, instead of worshiping Krishna, if you worship the devatas, you will get the material benefit faster. But if you worship Krishna for the same material benefit, so this is not what Krishna is telling here. You know, this is what people think. Are aapko bhautik indriya tripti chahiye aur kuch bhautik cheez chahiye to aap devata ka upasana karenge to jaldi mil jayega, bhagwan ka upasana karenge to bahut deri ho jayega. How do you know? Because Krishna only says na kaankshatah karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata shipram himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So Krishna only tells that if you desire results from your work, those desiring results from their work, if you worship the devata, you will get the result very quickly. So here he says, this verse is not a comparison between the time it takes to this is not a comparison between you know, worshipping Krishna and worshipping the devatas. If you worship Krishna, you will get late results. If you worship the devatas, you will get quick results. No, this is not what it is talking about. This is a comparison between a transcendental result and a material result. Okay. Transcendental result takes long time. Material result comes quickly. So those who want material results quickly and who are completely consumed by material desires, they and who lack that sukriti to worship Krishna, they will worship the gods because they want quick results, meaning they want material results. Because no transcendental spiritual results come quickly. They take a long time. That's what it means. So, but even if you want some material results, if you quicker than the demigods. So this is not a comparison between worship of Krishna and worship of demigods, that we should understand very clearly. However, among men, those who are full of desire give up the path of bhakti, even though it is coming directly from, and follow the path of karma, which gives quick results. That is explained in this verse. The results of their actions, such as going to Swarga, come quickly. They come quickly because, irrespective, because it's a material result. Any material result comes very quickly. But any transcendental result takes time. So many times people misinterpret this and they say, agar aapko jaldi bhautik result chahiye to devata ka upasana karo, late chahiye to bhagavan ka upasana karo. This is not what Krishna is telling here. How many of you have heard this argument before? How many of you have heard this understanding? If you want a material result quickly, worship the devatas. If you want, if you ask Krishna for a material result, Krishna will take a long time to give it to you. How many of you have heard this explanation before? Yeah. But this is not true. This is not a comparison of that. This is not a comparison of the speed of reciprocation of Krishna and devatas. It is rather a comparison of speed of reciprocation for material result and spiritual result, a transcendental result. Any transcendental result will take time. Any material result will come quickly. And even if you want a material result, if you ask Krishna, even more quickly than if you approach a demigod for it. That is why Krishna says that akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradihi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Therefore, whether you are an akami or a sarvakami or a mokshakami, if you what you need, even if you want a material desire, if you are intelligent, you will come to me. Okay. Because why? Because I will give you the result quickly. Otherwise, if you go to the devatas, it is indirect. It is indirect. It is not direct. Because when you approach me, it is direct. Therefore, your result will come quickly. Like that, he says. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask. Yes, Shyamli Mataji.
Prabhuji, if material desires are also coming through worship of Krishna faster, mm-hmm. and spiritual desires as such can be fulfilled only by Krishna, mm-hmm. then how do we explain the need for demigod worship?
The Why need for demigod...
Because yeah, it is not, materially, it is not... material things also come through Krishna faster. Spiritual yes. desires are fulfilled only by Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, for both things, Krishna only is the solution. But still we see demigod worship is so much more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Navratri, Devi Puja is so prominent.
Yeah.
During Ganesh Chaturthi, Ganpati Puja is so prominent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes, even for material results, worship of Krishna only gives, but not everyone is inclined to worship Krishna. Because in this material world, everyone has turned their face away from Krishna. So why there are more demigod worshippers? Because we are in this material world where the one common thing between all the souls, whether they are Indians, Americans, or Europeans, or animals, or plants, or aquatics, is that all of us are Krishna Bahirmukh. We have all turned our face away from Krishna. So the inclination to worship Krishna is conspicuous by its absence. So, therefore, you will see more demigod worshippers and atheists in this material world, which is natural because it is like in a in a prison house, you go and see that, hey, he's also a criminal. He's also a criminal. He's also a criminal. Hey, how come? Because it is a prison house, what else do you expect? So similarly, in this material world, it's a small place, which is like a small cloud in the whole spiritual expanse of the sky. All the people who have turned their face away from Krishna are put. So natural. So material desire is natural, but approaching Krishna is unnatural. Approaching Krishna is very unnatural. So therefore, but they may, according to their experience in this material world, they may have an inclination to approach the other demigods. They may have an inclination to approach other demigods. So so Krishna does not want to say you have to Prabhu, just give me 1 second. Prabhu, I'm in the middle of a class. I'll complete and call you in a few seconds. I lost track. I'm sorry. So in this material world, people have turned their face away from Krishna, and based on their experience in this material world, they do have inclination to worship various personalities. And Krishna does not want to say that you have to worship me only. You have to worship me only. Does not force. So through those demigods, he fulfills those desires, their desires. Okay. Through those demigods, he fulfills their desires. So but if some devotees approach these people and slowly try to influence them, give them some sukriti, and gradually help them develop faith in worshipping Krishna, then Krishna starts directly reciprocating. Otherwise, if they approach the devatas, through the devatas, Krishna reciprocates and fulfills their material desires. Is that relevant to?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu.
Right. Okay. So I think we will pause here and continue this discussion next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will meet again and continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.